The following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcast also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
And I didn't see the tripwires they had set out there, but I hit a tripwire and set off, I don't know what kind of explosive device.
Big blast, a big bright light, and that was it.
Were you unconscious?
No.
So you're still...
I'm still awake.
That had come, he was Army, Vietnam, and he was ordered. The Lieutenant Colonel told this sergeant, this Catholic boy, sergeant, to throw the con
out of the helicopter.
Yeah, to throw him off the helicopter.
Hi, this is Sergeant Bill Sage, Vietnam veteran, 1965 through 1966. I'll be joining Father Jim Drucker today on his show, Rock and Roll Reveille, on WWDB AM 860.
People tell me it ain't no use in trying. My little girl, you're so young and fresh. And one thing I know is true. You're gonna die before your time.
Now we're off mic. Now we're on mic. That's great. It's wonderful. Okay, it's 4 o'clock, and it's Father Jimmy Drucker, very disheveled right now. And we're going to have a great show. Bring the music up, will you, Tyler, please? Bring it up under bed, please. A little bit lower. A little bit lower. That's good. Fine. I'm so disheveled today, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Billy Colucci's with me. Doc, bail me out of the sailor.
I'm here. Somebody. I'm here to pray for you and give you a massage, Father. God is on our side.
This is show 55, and today our guest is a gentleman that went through hell in Vietnam. He truly is a hero. Sergeant Bill Sage, wounded in action in Vietnam on April 5th, 1966, at Cam Ranh Bay in Vietnam. Recipient of Purple Heart, Combat Infantry Badge, CIB, Vietnam Service Ribbon with one bronze device, Parachute Badge, Army Commendation Medal, Good Conduct Medal. This is show 55, Rock and Roll Reveille. I can't say Reveille now. Father Jimmy Drucker, 888 329-3306. Music, please.
There's a better life for me and you.
Bill Sage lives in Troy, New York. In my estimation, he is truly a hero. Heroes do not like to be called heroes. They like to simply be called Bill, Billy, Doc, Andy, Jimmy from Kensington. Bill Sage, I'm sure this song we just heard that we began our show with, "We Gotta Get Out of This Place," I'm sure it is truly the anthem of Vietnam veterans. And I'm sure many times you said, "We got to get out of this place." Join the audience here in Philadelphia, Bill Sage. God bless you and your wife, Mary Ellen. You're on 10,000-watt veteran power, WWDB Rock and Roll Reveille. I welcome you to the radio, Bill.
Good afternoon, Father. Welcome.
Bill, share a little bit about your life, where you're from, where you grew up, the schools you went to, your mom and dad, your brothers who are both Air Force. And by the way, we have the infamous or the famous Army-Navy game. We have a mutinous group here today. Doc is rooting for Navy.
Former Marine. I'm going with the Navy.
And Billy and I are Army.
Army men.
And, of course, Bill Sage, I'm sure you're with Army, I guess. I'm sure, because I am.
Definitely.
Okay.
Screaming Eagle.
Listen, get a little bit closer to your mouthpiece there, your mic, your phone receiver, and share with everybody who you are, where you're from, where you grew up, and all about your parents and your life as a young child growing up, please.
Yes. I was born on September 1st, 1945, to John and Alice Sage, my parents. Also, my brother John Jr., my twin, was born on that same day.
I didn't know you were twins. How about that? God bless you.
Yes, the twin, one Air Force, one Army. So anyway, we grew up, went to St. Patrick's Grammar School in Troy, Sisters of St. Joseph, taught us very well.
Wait a minute. They're the same ones that rocked my knuckles at St. Anne's Church in Lehigh Avenue. Can you see my knuckles right
that?
Here? I'm truly a member of Sisters of St. Joseph's, anyway.
Yes, would remember them.
They were tough ladies. I remember when I was in second grade, Bill, a sister cut my head open at St. Anne's Church. I was bleeding. I came home. Now, usually your mother would slap you and say, "Get back and get for more," you know? But my mother was upset, so she went in the next day to see Mother Superior. So I want to speak to Sister John. And she was a big lady. I got to admit to you, well, this is Philadelphia. I'm in the toughest section of Philly, Kensington. And I remember second grade, 8 years old. I remember Billy and Doc, one of my brother classmates ripped the beads off the nun. Well, she decked him and pulled out for the count.
That happened to me. I went to catechism class and the nun hit my knuckles.
Oh.
And I kicked her in the shin. Right? And I ran home. You know what my mother did? She ran back to the catechism class and told the nun off.
Well, this is what happened to me. So what happened? I know it's your show, Bill, but so my mother goes in and she refuses let my mother speak to Sister John. She says, if you don't let me speak to Sister John and nip this at the bud and find out what the problem is, I'm going to send James to public school. She says, no, absolutely not. So she starts walking out with me, and she calls
public school, not you.
So then I started at Hackett School, and I went from there to John Paul Jones, and some movie stars came from out of Jones, believe it or not.
Really?
And then I went to Edison High School, which, by the way, Bill, you may not know this, a good friend of mine wrote a book called Edison 64. It's the high school that had the most deaths, Vietnam soldier deaths, of any high school in America was Edison High School, where I went. And I would have graduated in 60, but instead went upstate Pennsylvania because my mom moved us back upstate where she was from. So, and then the second largest death toll was Father Judge High School in Philadelphia Catholic High School. But continue with your life now. So we're alumni of Sisters of St. Joseph. If you can see our knuckles, you can look at them right
now. Yes.
So go on.
I went through similar experiences that you fellas did. And what is it good, because they prepared me for high school, which was LaSalle Institute in Troy, New York, run by the Christian Brothers. So if you thought the nuns were tough, the Christian Brothers, they were good.
Wow. Okay.
Sarge, don't be shy, but mention about the seminary for a short period of time. What happened there?
Yes. After high school, I spent a year at Mater Christi Seminary, a diocesan seminary here in Albany, New York. I think one of the reasons why I went there was I told Brother Patrick that I took Latin and I was going to the seminary. That's why I passed Latin for 4 years. But so I spent a year there. I did love it, but God was taking me in different directions. After the first year, I kind of left there, which that was the, I think it was the spring of 64. Spent the summer working with the family business, with my uncles and so forth. My mother was there also.
And the business is a painting business, correct?
Yes, a painting contractor. But we painted around locally here, bridges and factories.
Now listen, Bill, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to ask General Satterfield, one of our regulars on the show. General, I know you're not a Catholic boy, but did you ever have any of the sisters? Have you been around any sisters? Are your knuckles racked, sir?
No, I have not.
But I'm sure Nancy, your wife, did.
No, she's very. Oh yes, her. Oh no, she was very good. She was. I called her the teacher's pet, but no, she's too good for that. I think that's why I married her eventually.
Well, listen, you're going to be on the show with us, and Bill, we're going to go on a ship right now.
And Bill,
go ahead.
Bill, tell me about this. I'm kind of curious. You know, I'm a former Marine during Vietnam, 68 to 71. Please share with your audience that you didn't travel the normal way to Vietnam. Nope.
No. Our unit, the 101st Airborne 327th Infantry, we flew from Fort Campbell to Travis Air Force Base in California. From there, we were trucked over to Oakland Navy Base in California, put on a ship, the General Leroy T. Elginge troop ship, and sent off to Nam.
Was it about 21 days or so?
It was about 21 days out at sea with I don't know how many thousand troops we had on that ship, overloaded.
And of course,
we had
you had
a hot bunk.
Of course, you had first class accommodations, right?
Oh, first class, yes, yes. Four men to one bunk, so we had to get out of there every 6 hours and go up on deck, and then hang around on deck for 18 hours.
Wow!
In all sorts of weather and things like that. Same with the chow line. We stood in line for hours just to get a quick bite to eat.
Now, Bill, there was what, maybe 1,000 men, maybe more, on this ship going to Vietnam?
Taking you
from home and taking you to combat, to war, to hell.
Yes, there was more than that. I'm going to guess a couple of thousand, if not more.
Wow.
I can't remember, but it was wall-to-wall soldiers. Now, I probably shouldn't talk about that, but we had no showers, or if we did get to take a shower, it was salt water. talk about the latrines or heads on a Navy ship. I don't even want to talk about that with all of us there. But it was an interesting trip.
And you were heading, days. And Bill, you were heading to a cruel world.
a very cruel world. Very cruel, yes. Yep.
Join the circus. Gonna be a broken-hearted clown. Paint my face with a good-for-nothing smile. Cause a mean, fickle woman turned my whole world upside down. Farewell to love. I'm off to join the circus. Gotta find a way to hide my tears. If it takes 100 years.
Goodbye, Cooper.
Oh, step right up and take a look at a fool. He has got a heart as stubborn as a mule. Come on, everybody, he's good for a laugh. And no one could tell his heart is broken in half. Well, the joke's on me. I'm off to join the circus. Oh, Mr. Barnum, save a place for me.
Hi, I'm Billy Carlucci of Billy and the Essentials and Danny and the Juniors, Father Jim's musical co-host. Sergeant Sage, what a blessing to have you join us today on Rock and Roll Reveille. Each of us, our shows are honoring military men and women who had sacrificed so much for our country.
Thank you.
Please share the feelings you had after a ship journey to a foreign land and landing directly into the combat zone of Cam Ranh Bay, Vietnam. I understand that our famed Philadelphia singer James Darren entertained you with his hit song Goodbye Cruel World. I guess you were leaving home and entering a cruel world. You must have been so frightened and confused. As my grandmother would say, Philomena, Maron.
Yes. Yes, it was confused, frightened. They gave us real bullets as we got off the ship, and I said, what's going on here? Didn't know what was happening.
Now, you went directly into combat, I understand, didn't you?
The first day, we marched out, and we were ambushed. We were shot at. Yes.
And
you were
a member of the Screaming Eagles. I did some research on them. They were the most feared battalion division in Vietnam, as I understand, by the NVA and the Viet Cong, the 101st Airborne Division. You should be proud of that, Bill.
I am, yes. We were trained very well. We back at Fort Campbell, yes, every day, training and that. And I want to mention that, you know, yes, being frightened, confused, but you know what? I was confident that our brothers, my brothers, troopers, my brother paratroopers, my brother 101st people, they could and we could handle anything they sent at us, and we had each other's backs. We were true brothers.
Now, listen, you shared with me of the 48 soldiers of your platoon, only 18 survived, Bill.
That was in the first 3 months. By Christmas time, that was all that was left. It was 18 of us. All of the others were either KIA or WIA.
Now, Bill, you're from New York. You arrive in a foreign country, number one. Number two, you're in a uniform. You're a fighting soldier. You must have had fear incredible. I can't imagine the fear you must have had. A young man, how old were you then? 18, 19, 20?
I just turned, actually, 19.
My
I was
God.
19 when I got there. Yes.
And Sarge, I mean, I was reading some of your history. This is amazing. Apparently, one of your soldiers was captured, and you guys rescued him. How the hell did you do that?
We did it. We saw this happening, and they dragged him away, and we just ran after them. Followed them. I caught up to them an hour or so later and just rescued them. It was just
I'm sure he thinks you're a hero. He'll never forget that. You saved an important life, my friend.
Listen, yes, Bill, this is one of the songs from the Mamas and the Papas. A little music on Rock and Roll Reveille. Our guest today is Sergeant Bill Sage, a screaming eagle. Bill Sage, you were wounded on April 5th, in Vietnam, seriously wounded, taken to a field hospital in 1966. Will you share what happened, Bill, with our audience, please? You're truly a hero.
We were all heroes, but that day I was point man. If you're infantry, you know what point man is. And we're going along. I saw out of the corner of my eye the Charlie, the Viet Cong, whatever. They were waiting for the main group to get there, and then they would get those. Well, I opened fire on them first. Then they opened fire on me, and that's when I got wounded. I was laying there, hit four times. Our sergeant ran out. They got me. My hand was laying on the ground. They grabbed that. I said, grab that. And they got me back. The field medic patched me up as best he can. And then the dust off. And after that, it was just whatever. You know, got to the aid station, and they took care of me there.
I was hoping that Phil Marshall would call in. He still may call in yet. He was one of the dust-off pilots that you called in on his show with Vienna Lorendi when we had her show. But, my God, you so much, you give so much for our country, William Sage, so much, from Torrey, New York. We love you as a veteran, and every week, Dr. Andrew Savicki, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Air Force, former, is it okay to say former Marine?
I'm still alive, yes. Only an ex-Marine is deceased.
Okay, so former Marine will now give his vignette on Rock and Roll Reveille. I can't say the word. On Rock and Roll Reveille, Father Jimmy Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille, please.
Yeah, and my song is
music.
Always...
Maybe You'll Be There?
Maybe You'll Be There. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned, but I'll do my best to share my feelings at this time. That's Billy Carlucci in The Essentials, another hero from the war, and still continuing to serve our veterans in his music and his spoken word. Let me share with you, this is the Army-Navy game today, and there's a psychology during that game. The Army-Navy game is always a toss-up, no matter how well each team has performed throughout the rest of the season. It's a big deal. For the Black Knights and the midshipmen, everything has been leading up to the second Saturday in December. Today, they're playing right now at 3 o'clock Eastern time. The rival might win the conference championship, but no sweeter victory is that the Army-Navy game victory. It could mean the difference between better luck next year and a trip to the White House to get the Commander-in-Chief's trophy from the President of the United States. The idea of one side singing the other's alma mater after any college football rivalry game may seem a little crazy to most people. consider. Can you imagine the Michigan Wolverines singing Carmen, Ohio State University? I doubt it. That's how it goes after the Army-Navy game. In a tradition that has become known as honoring the fallen, like each of us honor our fallen who did not come home, consider the following. The two teams gather to first sing the loser's alma mater, then sing the winner's alma mater. Do you see the love that they have for each other, the love that all veterans have for those that have deceased and those still living? If you hear the phrase, sing second, that is what they are talking about. They're talking about singing the alma mater of the opposing team, but still a brother veteran. I think this is why each veteran honors the fallen by living and fighting on. In spite of stress and challenges in their life, we want our veterans to sing that alma mater to our deceased and continue living proudly and have a longevity that'll be remembered by the fallen. It's okay. It's okay to ask for help. If you need help, call or text 988. But if you feel like you need to speak with me directly, you can call me at 856-278-4042 or simply drasavicki@gmail.com. Dr. Savicki, drasavicki@gmail.com. And maybe I'll be there. Yes, I will be there. We love you. We love your families. We want you to live long and prosper.
Sergeant Sage, you left from Nong Tarang on a United States Air Force plane with brother Vietnam wounded soldiers heading for the Clark's Air Force Base, Philippines. You spent a few days there, and then you were flown to United States Air Force on a C-141 with a full plane load of 100 comrades heading home to the U.S. Army Hospital. Amazing.
That's correct.
That's amazing. You did amazing. You are an amazing man.
Well, there were 100 of us all on stretchers, all amazing men.
Sergeant Shane, you were a major surgery and healing and healing and healing. Father Jim shared how your fellow soldiers and you would joke with each other other than you're heading home and you sang this song. And it's amazing, amazing, amazing.
Now, Bill, listen, you were telling me about your buddy Steve Kranick, who was next to you. And yes. I want the audience to know, you can play the music out, Tally, thank you. I want the audience to know that you underwent 21 major surgeries. 21 major surgeries. And you were at Presidio U.S. Army Hospital for 18 months of your young life at age probably 20 by then. Share those feelings and talk about your buddies next to you and the bunk next to you, the one to the right, the one to the left, and especially Steve. And we have some songs, The Letter, because you joked about that with him. Share those thoughts, please, Bill.
Yes, well, getting there, like you said, to Steve and other ones there, I can't remember the names, but I was in the orthopedic ward. One fella right next to me on my right side, he was in a full body cast from the neck down.
My God.
Poor guy would never walk again.
Oh, my God.
other guys, no legs. But during the day, we joked, laughed with each other, but the lights went out. You could hear the crying. You could hear people, why me? Why?
God bless you, Bill.
Then the lights would come on in the morning, and we'd all start joking again. Some guys were there before I got there. Some guys were there after I got there and stayed longer than I did. But all in all, the nurses, the doctors, they took care of us. They were. I can't say enough about them.
What are your thoughts? First of all, let's go back to the dust off pilot who probably saved your life. You probably don't even know who he is. But let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the dust off pilots, how important they were to you, and then talk about the nurses and doctors here at the Letterman Hospital, what they did for you, how they not only helped you heal physiologically, but I'm sure spiritually, and I'm sure also in the mind, you know, emotionally as well. Please share with our audience. I want the audience to hear this man gave this sacrifice for you, for me, for us. Bill Sage, Sergeant. Sure.
Yes, those nurses, doctors, they helped out. They would be there in the middle of the night holding your hand, just talking to you. You needed something, they got it. They got you up, they got you around, they kept you in spirits. Sometimes if you need a little bottle of beer, that might sneak in there too. I just can't say enough about them. Now, you said something right in the beginning. Now, I just forget what you said.
About the dust-off pilots.
Oh, the dust-offs, yes. Oh, yes. Now, going back, I was an RTO for a while there, and I used to call the dust-off pilots in to get some of those 30 and 40 wounded in our unit there before. So I had a lot of contact with the dust-off, calling them in for other guys. Well, then this time here, I was machine gunner. Then I was point man when I got wounded. The dust-off, prior to that, I was also medevaced out in the middle of the night. I had a 105 fever. That's when I was the RTO, right. And they had to call dust-off in.
105 fever, my God.
And that's what the medic said. He won't last till morning. So the captain called the dust-off, and they had to come in again nighttime and to try to find a LZ to pick me up. So they had to have lights on and things. So we were fired at that point. So...
Hey, Sergeant Change, I was going to ask, is this true that you loved those dust-off pilots because the firing stopped on you and started going towards the helicopter?
I guess that's what it is, yes. I loved them, and that was the first time I got medevaced out. Spent a couple of weeks in the hospital getting over that, back to the unit, then I was point a while later. That's when I was wounded on April 5th, 1966. Dust-off again came to my rescue, and again under fire. It seemed like every time, but they got me and got me back to the aid station, and with the grace of God, here I am.
General Satterfield, you're still with us, sir.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts of this heroic man, this gentleman, Sergeant Bill Sage from Troy, New York, sir?
Well, you know that the real heroes don't think themselves as heroes. You and I have talked about that as well.
Amen.
And this is another example of a hero who doesn't think he is, but he is. Bill, you're a hero. Thank you for that. Thank you for your
service. Thank you, General.
Well done.
In the morning. morning. I hammer in the evening, all over this land. I hammer out danger, I hammer out a warning. I hammer about the love between my brothers and my sisters. Ah, all over this land. I ring it in the morning, ring it in the evening, all over this land. I ring out danger, I ring out a warning. I ring about the love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
Hey everybody, this is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to Father Jim Show. No other show like it, by the way, on the whole world, right here on WWDB. That's right, the best station that you can ever listen to. Why? Because the Father is giving the blessing.
All over the land, I sing out.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, get a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. She wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, get a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
I remember back in 1968, I was rocking a WSCR, and a fella down the block, Gabe Garland, was a booking agent. I went to high school with his daughter, one of his daughters, and he said, would you like to MC the Box Tops? I said, yeah, sure. So I went to Kingston, and I actually met and MC'd Alex Chilton and the Box Tops. What a blessing that was. Now, listen, this was a cute little thing between you and Steve Krennic, because you would always say, you know, you're leaving, so you don't want to upset anybody. But in a joking way, like kind of nudging him, kind of busting his bunions, you would say to him, give us the story on that one, Bill, please.
Yeah, it was just, I was what we called short, okay, and I would tell him how short I was, and just because he was bedridden like I was for a while, and I just tell him I'm going home every morning, and just we busted on them, we'd laugh and cry, then that was it. Then I said one morning, got up and said goodbye, Steve, and we'll keep in touch. And well, as things go, we lost track of each other, and that was life. We each went on with our life, but it was fun. We had fun. You had to laugh.
I can only imagine, Bill, being in the hospital with your comrades in arms, gendarmes. That's what it means in French, comrades in arms, wounded soldiers fighting for our country, fighting for the world, for democracy. You were one of those gentlemen. You are truly a hero. Our next song is a Bobby Vinton song, which is very special to you, sir.
Yes.
I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Home, I'm coming home. Coming home from across the sea. Home, I'm coming home. No more marching and fighting for me. I am a soldier, a coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm just a soldier, a coming home soldier. I know that I've done my best. I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. The girl I left behind.
You know, that song touched my heart, Sarge. If I may, I know you won't do it, but I think it's my obligation to let people know what kind of a man would do so much and earn so many accolades. So permit me and please let me talk about what you've done and how you were recognized. You're the recipient of the Purple Heart, given to those who have died or received wounds while in combat. The Army Commendation Medal. And of course, you're very proud of the Combat Infantry Badge, which you still hold tightly forever. The Vietnam Service Ribbon with one bronze device. The Republic of Vietnam Ribbon with silver scroll and the Parachute Badge, which gave you extra pay, but could have made you a member of the deceased. You suffered much to help those in the world be a better place. Once again, please share your thoughts of your life up till now. When you returned home to Troy, New York, you eventually joined your dad, John, and brothers, John and James, as president of Sage Bruss Brothers Painting.
And share with us about your brother James and brother John and their military life, please.
Yes. I got home.
The year? Went to work. Give us the year.
The year would be 1967, actually the end of 67.
So when you left the Letterman Hospital, when was it, and did you just go home by normal plane, by commercial, by military? Where did you go from and then ended up back home? How?
Yes, okay. I left there in October, the end of October, early November of 1967, from Letterman Hospital back to Troy, New York. I flew went to Travis and got a hop with an Air National Guard, I think it was an old C-97, the slowest plane going. and
right.
They actually had a National Guard, the 109th Air National Guard, right here in Schenectady, New York, about 30 miles from home. So I got to there, and then my mother picked me up at the airport there.
Your mother must have been ecstatic.
She was. She was.
She must have kissed. She must kiss you all over, man.
definitely.
And mommy, so anyway, mommy's name. What is mommy's name?
Alice Sage. So anyway, there was at home. I worked with the into the business, and I had worked there through high school and other summers, whenever. So then that, after a few months when the school year ended, I enrolled in Hudson Valley Community College, took a accounting course so I would know how to run business. And then it's history after that. I stayed in the business. I'm still active in it. My son and grandson are basically doing all the work.
Okay, now listen, you met a lovely lady. Let's talk about her, and you married her. When? When and where?
I met her.
And by the way, you wanted to study to be a priest. Let's talk about, by the way, when you were wounded, by the way, I almost forgot about this, you had a priest come to the hospital, field hospital, when after your hand was blown off, you were wounded, shot four times, point man, you're in the hospital, and the priest comes to your bedside, a U.S. Army Catholic chaplain, priest, and he gives you last rites, sacrament anointing the sick. Share that story, please.
Yes, very interesting. The Father Bruno Massotti, okay, he arrived in country, I think January, maybe February of 1966. We're out in the field, and here comes this chaplain along introducing himself to the infantry guys there. He comes up to me, "Hi, soldier, how you doing? Where are you from?" And I just said, "Oh, some town upstate New York, Troy." "Oh," he said, "whereabouts in Troy?" I said, "Well, you know, upstate." He said, "What parish?" "St. Patrick's." "Oh, you know, how about that? What high school?" "What?" "Oh, LaSalle." Find out 10 years earlier, he went to the same school I did, grew up in the same area I did, graduated from LaSalle, went on to be a Dominican priest. Next time, I saw him a few different times after that, at the aid station, doesn't he show up to give me the last rites? And he said, "Don't worry, Bill, you're going to be okay." And I was. I made it through it. He also said that, "Listen, I'll call the local, our St. Patrick's pastor of the church in Troy. I'll have him accompany the military personnel who was going to knock on my mother's door." And then, if you were in a service, you knew. And
God bless you.
Yes. Two uniformed guys come up to your front door. You know what that meant.
Yeah, we love you. We love you, Sergeant. We love you.
Bill, I've been on one of them when I was at the Westover Air Force Base. I went on a young man had been killed. I had to go to Kmart to see the mother. Sure. They took along a chaplain. There was an officer and me. And we had to, I'm getting choked up. We had to be a solace to this woman. It was incredible.
Yes. Yes. But well, listen, fortunately, they gave her somewhat good news that I was still alive.
Praise God for that. Thank God. You wanted praise to be God. A priest. You got married to Mary Ellen. You had children. Your children's name, Bill?
Kevin and Maureen. Kevin's the oldest. Works with me at the family business. Maureen, she's lives close by, and see them. She had two boys, and Kevin had two boys. I have four lovely grandsons.
God has been good to you, you hero.
God has been good to me.
God has been good to you. This is a favorite song of mine and of yours.
The Polish Elvis Presley, Bobby Vinton.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own. I'm so lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. Wish I had someone to call on the phone. Now I'm a soldier, a lonely soldier, away from home.
Sergeant Bill Sage, all of our guests, especially military veterans, are given a special certificate of honor, and this is a thought of Dr. Andrew Sawicki. I work with him on it. But this is his idea, and it's wonderful. So I'm going to give this to you by reading it to you on the air. Rock and Roll Reveille, Certificate of Honor. The certificate is presented to honor, and the Combat Infantry Badge, Infantryman Badge is there. Sergeant Bill Sage, wounded in action, Cam Ranh Bay, Vietnam, 5 April 1966, Purple Heart, Combat Infantry Badge, CIB, Parachute Badge, Vietnam Service Ribbon with Scroll, Army Commendation Medal. In recognition and grateful appreciation for service in the United States Armed Forces in the name of freedom and democracy and for allegiance to God and country in courageously protecting our liberty and independence and saving veterans' lives with your music and spoken words and your action on the battlefield, sir, we present this from WWDB 860 AM KHC Kilohertz, Philadelphia, Father Jimmy Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille. And it's signed by myself, by Billy Carlucci, and Dr. Andrew Savicki, who's this was his brainstorm. We love you, Bill. God bless you, and welcome home.
Thank you, Father, and everyone. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Now, listen, share if there's any other thoughts, because we're coming to a closure. And I'm going to bring a gentleman on, Philly, because, first of all, General Sadovy, we hop on here, sir. We're coming to the end of the show. Any thoughts, sir? General?
Well, other than we're talking to somebody very special here, as you can tell. I mean, I love this guy. And I mentioned to him, and I was very fortunate to talk to him right before the show. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mentioned to him that the strongest element of the veterans that I happen to be dealing with today are Vietnam veterans. And like you said to Bill, welcome home. That's so important now.
And your closing thoughts, Bill, please. And give our love to your wife, Mary Ellen, and to your family, please. And we love you, and you're in our prayers.
I will. I love you also. Thank you for what you do, Father General, and the rest of you guys at WW. Thank you for everything. It's what else can I say? We're all true heroes, all veterans, and even Navy, you know. Air Force.
Absolutely. And we want to give honor to our soldiers, especially in harm's way. So may God bless each of our soldiers and soldiers throughout the world fighting for true democracy and freedom and peace and love. May they be blessed as well. And may God bless each of us. I'm going to bring on now real quickly, Philly Cousins on our show a few months ago. And I saw him perform the other day at Vera's. I'm an 82-year-old groupie, a Philly Cuz groupie. So Philly Cuz, hop on here. We're going to play your Christmas song because next week you're going to be on the air with us. We're going to be featuring Philadelphia artists with rock and roll music, Christmas music. So hop on here, Phil.
Great. It's great listening to that story. It's hard to follow that one, but this song here that you're going to do, this is from my second Christmas album, and I wrote this song during the COVID shutdown, and I was into, you know, it was a crazy time. It was like the day the earth stood still, you know, and it was a dark time, and I was walking around North Wildwood. I'm from South Philly, but we live in North Wildwood too. And I was walking around North with my wife, and I was thinking about, you know, like, boy, we have to get back to Christmas.
Amen.
You know, I was writing this in March, you know, and I realized what a uplifting whole season and feeling Christmas is. And I wrote about places, but it's Christmas Town is the title of the song, and it's a metaphor for basically ourselves being Christmas Town for everyone else.
Now, you have many CDs of different songs, but next week we'll be featuring Christmas songs with Bobby Rydell, Frankie Avalon, with Philly Cuz. And let's hear this song right now. Bring it on, Tyler, please.
Bright colored lights on the trees at night, up in Christmas Town. Cute little elves having toys on shelves, up in Christmas Town. Christmas Town, Christmas Town, where no sadness brings you down, lifts the spirit all around. Let's head back to Christmas Town. Songs fill the air with the carolers near, up in Christmas Town. Kids run alive to the Santa's side, up in Christmas Town. Christmas Town, Christmas Town, where no sadness brings you down, lifts the spirit all around.
I want everyone to know how thankful I am to God for life, for the Holy Priesthood, which I've embraced 46 years since December 3rd, 1978, 5 years of studies, 50 years really when you think of it. Been around the world, up and down the East Coast, Sake Diocese. I'm with Dr. Savvy, couldn't be better, a Ukrainian Catholic fella. Doc, let's say goodbye to our audience. I want you all to know this is Veteran Radio, 10,000 watts of power, 30,000 watt WPEN-FM, simulcast HD2, Doc.
We do this for your families and for you. You matter. You mean most to our country. And we want to remember how we left Vietnam and all other wars.
We love you, Bill Sage. Sir, you're a hero. God bless you, Bill.
God bless you. We love you, too. Thank you so much for everything.
I love you, Bill. God bless.
Love you, Bill.
Love you. Little girl, love you so all. Young
and thank you.
And one thing I know is true. Gonna die.